opportunity for us to bring John Corcoran on board as one of our deacons. For those of you who may or may not be fully familiar with the church structure kind of issues, this is not putting John on a pedestal. In effect, all the deacons have said, we want to serve. The elders have said, we want to serve. And so we're giving John an opportunity to serve us. Isn't that great of us to let him do that? John, if you'd come on up and Colleen, come along with. That's what these two chairs are for. In a minute, the deacons are going to pray for them. I'm not sure if you guys, deacons' wives as well. I don't know. Come on up. In Acts chapter 6, there was a time when there's just so much going on in the church that those who were the apostles, those who were preaching, they didn't have time to do everything that needed to be done. And so they called for 7 men to be appointed as deacons, those who would come alongside and serve. In that particular case, we talk about table waiters and servants. And so John, along with these other men that you see here, have committed themselves to serve our body, to be hands and feet of Christ amongst us and for one another. And so this process oftentimes is a matter of laying our hands on John to pray for him for the work that he has been called to do and that we are now inviting him to do.
Testimony as to what God has done in our midst. We had our littlest one among us was Abby. Come on here, Abby. And I know a lot of you are praying for her. This was her first trip overseas, and she did a great, great job. She was our Zacchaeus. She was our Peter. She changed into a man for a little, about 20 times. We won't hold that against her, but she helped us out a lot, and she was the cutest Zacchaeus I've ever seen. And we ministered in, I don't even know how many schools, 4 or 5 schools, and the one school we probably presented a dozen times in every class that they had. All these schools, every child was a participant in the gospel message through the story of Zacchaeus primarily at first. For the Lord has come to seek and save the lost. It was the verse that we studied. And we're talking like little 20-minute pieces, and you saw little bits and pieces in the video there of activities and things like that that we were able to do. You can have a seat. But our first person that's going to come is going to be Miss Wendy. If you'd come, and she was our elder stateswoman. But you know what? She did fantastically. Yeah, we saw. That was completely spontaneous. It was like, what are we going to do with these children? They're all just on It's like, and there's Wendy over there doing her aerobics over there with like the entire school. That was fantastic. And God used you in a mighty way.
First and foremost, thank you so much for praying for us and allowing us to go. What I want to share with you, which I know that you all know, love is universal. We do not have to speak Spanish or German or Latin or whatever else. Love is universal. If you allow God to use you, He will. And this missionary, Ben, was priceless. He reminded me of my son, and it just brought such joy to my heart. But it challenges me, and I know that you have all been challenged more than me, and I probably haven't done enough of what God has called me to do. But we need to be the ones that are discipling our friends, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, all over. And I know I have an opportunity. This weekend was wonderful. I went to a ladies' fellowship. One of my really dear friends went with me, and she went and bought a Bible study. I don't think she's ever bought a Bible study. And she said, if I buy this, will you do this with me? Am I not going to do it? Of course I'm going to do it. And I know that God is going to grow that. And this is one of the things that Ben had shared that really struck me so much. We as individuals need to go into the places that we're already in and be the ones that are discipling others. I've been in this church since I was in second grade, and God should have done a lot more to me than what I've allowed Him to do. But He is breaking my heart and calling me to be a part of. The Sheridan Parkside Ministries is really now become a dear part to me, and I want to be able to be used in that ministry. There is so much that needs to be done, and I know you all volunteer for everything, and I feel like I don't volunteer for anything. But I know that this is what God has put on my heart, to love those that are in our own community as well as over the countries. These children were so priceless, just like each one of your children. And they're just wanting attention and love. And I think I got some more that I can share with them. So thank you.
So we did have just a really wonderful time with Ben. Ben Hand is a local guy just up north of here. He's actually a member of Ridgewood Bible Church, one of our FBA churches now. And Ben is a missionary. He is as real as they get out there, guys. He is in the middle of, I don't know, thousands of acres worth of farmland surrounded by those mountains you saw and completely in this bowl. And he is the only white guy, the only American, in fact, in the entire area. And he has got a job to raise up church leaders, to raise up his what he calls the disciples, men of God who are being called into church ministry. And for that span of land, there's probably a dozen little towns up in those mountains. And we're talking low in the mountains. The city of Costanza is maybe 40,000, and each of those little places is another couple thousand here, a couple thousand there, and every one of them he's trying to place a house church or a ministry of some sort. La Sabina is one of those little towns up in the mountains, and that's where we spent a large part of our time. Jackson was the guy who put the video together, so let's hear it for him. Jackson, welcome to come. And he's going to be sharing a little bit about the impressions that God placed upon his heart.
We're sharing with them what you know. You're able to present the gospel in their lives, present the reason why you yourself needed to be saved, and why they need to be saved, and how they are going to be far better off in the needs that they have, and as they walk through this life, by knowing who Christ is. This is any other friend you will make. And it is something that you would naturally do if you are to be loving someone. to care deeply for them, to see where they are lost, and to know that you can't personally fix them, but that by planting the seeds that they need, by being for them, loving them, you are able to show them God's light and have God take control and work in their lives. Control is something that I have fought for in my personal life for quite a while, but it's something that I've been continuously shown is a worry and a burden that I don't need to have, one that God will control regardless of my futile attempts. And thank goodness that he has his own plan that operates outside of the temporary, in-the-moment cries out that I have of what I think might be best. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackson. And one of the things that we also noticed among this people group in this little bowl of in between the mountains was the community and the unity that was so largely seen. And the thing that Ben really used most of all, I think, was building community, building unity. His hope was to build unity, even with me coming and speaking to the leaders of many different churches all gathered for our training times. And it was a coming together, a unification of mind and heart. And yes, there were some strong and needed words to the heart of these men, and there were some things that needed to be shared. And I leaned on Ben to help me know what the greatest needs were as far as discipleship were. But sometimes that doesn't make me the person that people want to be around, honestly. You know, when I'm giving truth that is perhaps a little bit painful, but it's better for me to do that and then to come back to the States than for Ben to have to do that and to be that voice. So I was actually acting as Ben's voice in a lot of that, speaking into their hearts, things that he really wants to say, things that he needed to say, but things that perhaps would not benefit him to be able to say them, and the rigidness that he would receive from that. I took that upon myself. That's okay. I'm back here with you, and that is good. We'll be going back, as Jackson mentioned. Lord willing, we will have other opportunities. Small. I've heard a couple of things here. Small missional groups like we've been taking these last years are really where we're at as a body. We're not really looking to overwhelm a little village with 25 people. It's way too much. So 10 and less is what we try to travel with and try to leave it far better than what we ever could have found it in, and you know, financially as well. We don't want to waste their resources just putting us up. So we come with the intention of leaving far more than what we took away. Lisa Gagnon is also here, and she has traveled with me on different trips and all around the world. We did notice within the mountains how similar to our Himalaya expeditions it was, and it is a very beautiful place, but there's more than that to be said.
Morning, everyone. Jackson said a lot of the things that I was planning on saying, which I think is good because that means we all kind of came away with sort of a unified mind about what missions means. But I wanted to share with you a story that Ben, the missionary, told us our first morning in the country, which kind of shook us a little bit and gave us a different perspective for how we were going to conduct our week. And so the story that he told was about a monkey on an island that saw a fish that was struggling in the water, and there had just been a huge storm. And so the monkey saw this fish like struggling and trying to get upstream and just wasn't able to do it. And the monkey thought, oh my gosh, the fish is in danger. The fish is going to die. I have to go save the fish. And so the monkey decided to risk its own life and climb out on a branch and reach down and pull the fish out of the water and bring it on land and put it on the ground. And the way he told it was that the monkey looked down and the fish looked so happy and so excited to be out of the water, and then it fell asleep. And so then he was like, so what happened to the fish? And we said, the fish died. And I said, why did the fish die? Because the monkey took it out of the water. Why did the monkey take it out of the water? Because the monkey thought that the fish was in danger, but didn't actually know that. The monkey saw the need, the perceived need, and tried to save the fish without actually understanding the whole situation that the fish was in. And so he challenged us to, instead of saying, here's what we have for you to this week, to say, what do you need, and what is the best way for us to help you fill that need? Not what is the way that we're going to fill the need, but what do you actually need from us? And so, like Jackson said, we understood that the point of us being there was to lift up the people that were already doing the work there. And so God really taught me the value of patience in ministry and in my own life. And so we did see some fish struggling in the water, and Ben did tell us some stories of some very real issues that are occurring. And I just want to give you one example, is that water is a very scarce resource, and the people that purify and sell the water do so in a very corrupt way that really hurts the people. So the people that can afford it have to pay a huge sum for it, and the people that can't afford to buy water have to get it wherever they can find it and get very sick. And so we come in and we see this problem, and we're like, what? We can't do anything about that in a week. But we got to see how Ben and some of the other locals are building a water house there so that they will be able to purify water and sell it at a reasonable price, not even like a discount, just a reasonable price, that over the next few years will not only bring more water into the community, but also provide a source of income for the pastors and for the churches so that they can support themselves. So that's one example of a fish struggling that we could see, and instead of us trying to solve that problem, we got to see how they're solving it. And one other situation was that Ben lives in a neighborhood. Right next to him is a drug dealer's house, and on the other side of him are a bunch of really small houses, a lot less well-off than him. But what was really heartbreaking was the situation for the children in a lot of these homes. And so he was telling us a lot of these really tragic stories. And again, we can come in and we can do kids programs and we can love kids, but we're there for 7 days and then we leave. And we got to see how Ben is doing the long-term work of discipling the kids. So while we were there, you know, these neighbor kids would just run up. They'd run upstairs. They would play dominoes with them, you know, bring these kids up to help them learn to ride a motorcycle. He's discipling some of the teenage boys to be church leaders in the future. And so it was just amazing to see the ways that Ben and that the other local church leaders are really working to solve kind of these issues that we can come in and see in a sustainable way over time, and not something that is going to happen in a week. But we were very privileged to go for that week and to get to see everything that they're doing, and it was a great experience. So thank you once again for your prayers. It's much appreciated.
So as you saw in some of the pictures, perhaps, we had 7 of us total, so 2 other young ladies that are not going to share today. You supported them as well in many different ways. We have Katie Cuffle, who's Jackson's sister, and Olivia, who's my daughter, and Abby's sister. And these 7, we, with Wendy included, you know, what a fantastic, flexible team we had that you sent out onto the mission field and blessed people. Trust me, they blessed people immensely. And as you can hear, mission does as much of transforming and changing our hearts as anything else that we do. And that transformation, if it doesn't find a real footing here in Amherst, Tonawanda, Sheridan Parkside, Willow Ridge, if it doesn't become real here for us, then it's only been partially successful. We get changed. We get transformed. And we become the people on mission here in our own place. Yes, we look forward to jumping back into seeing God at work again there in Dominican Republic. But from now until then, this is our mission field. University of Buffalo, Buffalo State College, Willow Ridge, Sheridan Parkside, here, Tonawanda, Amherst. This is our mission. And not just for 7 of us, it's all. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. It's right there on the board, even if it's if you didn't get there, and I'll just look up off of there. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the love, to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of that Christ's gift. And then you have 15 and 16 as well. So you jump it down a little bit. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And today, even after all this, so many parts have kind of floated past your mind today. For those of you who are not regular attenders here, this is not what our typical service is. We're a little more joined together and a little more focused. But, you know, so many points and so many different pieces that have been demonstrated far abroad, here close at home, things that God is doing right here in our midst. But we are one body. Last Sunday evening, I spoke to six different churches, all crammed into this one little place. And they were able to join their hearts in song. They were able to hear a message together. And even though it was in two different languages, their hearts were unified. They were challenged. They're challenged in one thing particularly, about the unity and freedom of Christ and how we work together to see the kingdom of God come here among us. We work that. And so today, as we take the Lord's Supper, I would ask that that we, first of all, hold on to the elements. Do not partake in of them alone. Let's do this together as a joint body. And we'll pray, and we'll pray together, and then we will partake together, okay? But remembering that you, across this place, you who call Jesus Christ your Lord, we are part of a much bigger whole. And I'm not just talking about ABC. We're part of a much bigger whole. And I'm not just talking about the Church of God in Western New York. A much, much bigger whole. It's worldwide. It's far beyond that. We're talking about we are part of the very person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who lives and dwells within each of us. He is universal. And he keeps us together. So let us bow our heads. Let's meditate upon that. The unity and the challenge to be one of the main, one of the pieces of this one body. And Father God, we do give our lives to you as our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for that which these elements represent today. Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing among us. And we know that without you dying, without you being resurrected, without you going back to the Father, that your Spirit would not be here with us, uniting us in spirit and truth. And so we thank you. We thank you for what this represents to us. Jesus Christ here among us, uniting our hearts in spirit and in truth. We bless you today.